This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
We got 31 stab wounds.
What was it?
Ice pick.
Speak to Miss Catherine Trammell, please.
Is she a suspect?
She's a suspect.
I wanted to write a book about the murder of a retired rock and roll star.
You know how she does the boyfriend? With an ice pick.
She intended the book to be her alibi.
I picked him up, then I had sex with him.
You didn't feel anything for him, you just had sex with him for your book.
In the beginning. Then I got to like what he did for me.
You like playing games, don't you?
It's nice.
You've got no physical evidence.
She's lying. What's your new book about?
A detective who falls for the wrong woman.
What happens?
She kills him.
Stay away from her! You are out of control, Kurt.
You won't learn anything I don't want you to know.
She knew I'd say she did it, and she knew that nobody would buy it.
She is screwing with your head, Nick.
She knows things about me that I only told you.
How does it feel to kill someone?
You tell me.
She
manipulates people.
Freeze!
How much did she pay you?
You better play that! Come on!
She knows where I live and breathe.
Games are over, Nick.
I'm so excited. Okay. So if you didn't understand what that opening was, you should. If you were alive in the 90s and you were old enough to watch rated R movies, then you know what we're doing here. What are we doing here? Hi, Amy.
Hi, sweetheart. It's so good to be here finally.
Oh, my God. So I have Amy O'Brien with me, and mm-hmm. she is a lovely, awesome, good friend of mine. You've been on here before. And you're back, so I'm excited.
Back. Yes, you would not leave me alone.
I don't leave you alone.
Luckily,
you know what's funny? This is funny.
You are.
So we're talking about Basic Instinct, because this was your choice, which I was so excited about. But after that, I started thinking about another movie. That's okay, we can make noises. Mm-hmm. And it was Fatal Attraction, because first of all, Michael Douglas, mm-hmm. and also Crazy Women.
Right.
And then you joke about me hassling you, but man... Glenn Close knows how to hassle, doesn't
she?
Yeah,
she put the S in stalking. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, and when you think about, like, some of these movies, like, that's a crime, you know, that, and back in the day, I don't think at the time that was considered a crime, and certainly not a man, like, a man being stalked by a woman. It seems like it's more the other way, that men are stalking.
Well, but we had the Me Too movement, but back in the 90s, women were scary.
Women were scary. Yeah. Men were scary. Stalking was scary. Obsession was scary. Unless, of course, I was the object of it for a moment. But yeah, it's the out of control. Like you just don't know what you're creating. So, yeah, it was. That was when you texted me that today. I was like, you know what? I was talking to a coworker because we were watching. There's a documentary called Don't Fuck with Cats.
Whole other episode.
So
wow.
Luca Magnotta, I will come back for that. So
You've
Luca,
seen the whole thing.
I've seen the whole thing.
Did that just blow your mind? Okay, now we're going into another thing, but that's okay.
Things, but Luca Magnotta was obsessed with Basic Instinct.
Because of his whole look and everything.
His look, and my coworker, who's a lot younger than me, she's in her mid-20s, I said, you got to watch this documentary, Don't Fuck with Cats. It's so good. She's like, oh, my God. And then she said something about Basic Instinct. I said, wow, that's a movie I haven't seen in a long time. So then I texted you. I said, I'll do Basic Instinct. And I hadn't watched it in a long time. And some of it's really, like,
so,
over
yes.
the top. Like, the music, the score is a little. But I watched it again today. And but the sex scenes are straight up hot. Like... And Sharon Stone is just prime. I mean, I thought she was pretty prime in Casino, but this was like even younger.
She's like perfection in this
movie. She's perfection. I mean, her skin, everything. And I remember watching this and wanting to be Catherine Tremell so bad. And that's when I knew I might have a problem with
what?
With my relationships.
Oh.
And I thought that's what you do to men. Like, you completely consume them.
Wow.
I mean, the way that
devour.
And I remember seeing that movie, and I was probably, I don't know, as a teenager, I guess. And thought,
well, it's 19 here. You know what? Can I pause you?
Yeah, please.
All right. So those, for all of you joining us today, welcome. Welcome to the sex den. No, I'm just kidding.
the lair.
Welcome. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, this movie was 92. Mm-hmm. So I had I actually graduated high school in 91. So I was right out of high school.
God, I was married.
I was a mess that year.
I was actually having my, I thought it was earlier. I was having my second daughter at that in 92. So, yeah.
So I wonder if you saw this. You probably saw it
I
in the theater.
I must have seen it in the theater. Yeah,
and I have this
to.
This movie was like a pick that you picked that I have to try not to rob this podcast because, Steve, if you're out there, you know what I'm talking about. I'm just going to share a little. So I was, I guess, out of high school, but I was working at this movie theater in, I guess, the Marley Station Mall. Do you know what that is?
No
idea. Glen Burnie, Maryland.
Nope.
Hi, everybody. Do you guys remember the Marley Station Mall? Probably not. But I worked as a, I worked there, and I worked there for years. And Steve was the manager, even though he was like a year or two older than me. And there was a whole crew of us. And we all got very obsessed with this movie when it came out, even just working there. And we would watch it over and over again. And he actually, because I used to dress like a little bit like the Roxy character at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So like the leather jacket and the thing.
She was cute. And yeah.
So he called me Roxy for years. To this day, I still have that nickname, Steve, you know what I'm talking about, because of this fucking movie and because of my obsession with this movie.
Yeah.
And now look at my life.
And she likes to watch.
Jesus Christ.
I could see that with Rox. Because Rox, first of all, she had a cool name.
Yeah, well, she was the gay one.
And yeah, and she was jealous. And like, God. I just thought like the Sharon Stone character just was could control anyone that was in her orbit. And I really wanted to, like, there's something wrong with me. That's what I thought would be just, like, anyone in your orbit was just going to be completely consumed with
you. So you like to be the in control person?
Not anymore. Like, I realize how fucked up and unhealthy it is for both parties. But like the fact that Michael, go ahead, finish your
intro. It's okay. All I was going to say, okay, so 92, directed by Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah.
Written by Joe
Esterhaus.
Thank you. I was going to say that wrong.
Yeah.
And of course, Michael Douglas, Sharon Stone. A bunch of other people. George Zunza.
Yeah, George Zunza.
Zunza.
He was from Law and Order. He played, I don't care for this character. I just think he was like, he was just so.
He's a cliche.
He's such a cliche.
Yes.
And even the other cop, the one that was always, like everything in this movie was Joe Esterhaus over the top. He wrote Striptease and a bunch of other stuff. I think he's sort of known for his just kind of really pushing the envelope. Well, certainly with the sex stuff, he went right in there. Because there were no two hotter people at that time.
Do you think he's hot, Michael Douglas?
Yes, I do.
I guess you do.
I don't know
why I can't seem to go there.
Crystal, my girl at work, she's like, can't do it. No, she can't. That's right. She really likes him. So we were talking about, he could totally do whatever.
Well, obviously, because everybody did. And, you know, Michael,
but Linda,
listen. She thinks he's gross.
She thinks he's gross.
He's so hairless, which is so interesting to me.
I mean, I don't know.
Does he shave that? Probably.
I liked him. What, man? Shave everything?
He's just hairless. His chest.
He's pretty hairless.
It's like a baby.
But there's something like he just knows how to. Even in Fatal Attraction, he just like takes women. And,
I know.
And
it's violent. Almost.
It gets a little. I'm not really into the rapey stuff because some of that stuff.
We'll get into all of it. Yeah. Trust me.
Okay.
So everyone, cozy up.
Really. Get your vibrators out.
Let's
have to talk about
shit. All right, well, we're totally dissing Jean Triplehorn, by the way, and she's hot in this movie. Everybody in this movie.
She's hot.
Everyone is hot in this fucking movie. What the fuck?
Except George Zunga.
Except for him.
No.
But I would say most of the women in this are hot.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's almost not even fair. But it's okay. That's why that's why we love it, right? Because everyone's gorgeous and beautiful. And Sharon Stone really, I will say, she became so huge after this movie. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And I remember being really fascinated about her story. And I used to talk about this all the time, actually, that I saw her in interviews, and one time I heard her talk in an interview, and I think, I forget how old she was when this movie came out, but this was her, like, breakthrough movie. She was not young.
No, I would think she's in her 30s.
You think so?
Well, like, how old is she now? So, I was in 92, I was 20, 23. She's probably, I would say she's probably in her late 20s, early 30s, if
you're
saying.
I'm going to see if I can actually
find
out.
She didn't have a wrinkle on her face, because I know from even...
Okay, she's 34.
She's 34.
She's
in the
62 now.
Yeah, she was, but that's a strong 34. That is just a prime.
Oh my God!
Yeah. And she did have a maturity. Even her, I don't know what she was in prior to that. But I mean, obviously, the big scene was the leg crossing scene. But I just think on her own, standalone, she's an amazing actress, and I love everything she does. I really do.
I do think she's awesome.
Yeah,
and,
she's awesome.
She really, this is like, she brings it so hard in this movie. She's so good. Even on the rewatch, and I rewatched it today. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I still love it.
Yeah.
I don't even care
and
about all this stuff.
You can see how people would be, it's that whole, we use the P word a lot today in the office.
Do we?
Like, it's the power of the,
P word. I'm like, what am I thinking
of? No, like, oh, I don't want to say it, although I said vibrator already. But no, it was a good,
it was a good
movie, and I had forgotten the whole twist with the triple horn character and all that.
There's a lot in this movie, actually, and it, as I was rewatching it today, I was thinking, it reminded me a lot of, without the sax stuff, because the sax is in your face for
even
still, like, that first hookup scene that
they had,
I'm like, what is going on here? Wow.
Well, it's in that sort of vein of pornography that's really not what happens. I mean, I've had sex quite a bit, and I've never ever had anything even close to slamming up against the, you know, not being able to get to the
door. He's crazy.
Like, he's crazy and he's rough, and there's that whole thing, like, you shouldn't want to have that domination, but yet God, it looks so. It's very, as a woman, I think sometimes you get confused because you're watching it and you go, wow, that would be awesome. But then if that really happens in real life, I think that's a crime. Like, I'm not like...
You're like, is that okay? Well,
yeah,
definitely,
like,
the scene with Gene.
It's not okay. But then knowing what you know about Gene...
That was a crazy scene,
though.
It
was crazy. I thought... And, even when,
and what is up with him ripping everyone's underwear off? We're just going straight there. Honestly, I was joking. I'm like... Because then I watched The Fatal Attraction. I've been deep in today, guys. Mm-hmm. And,
No pun intended.
Oh, my God. Now we're on the Tom and Tiff show. Welcome. This is what we do the entire time.
Just like
if you haven't listened to it,
sexual
it's all insane. Yeah. Every 5 seconds. Yeah. Which he usually starts and I go along with because it's funny. So I went deep in. And it's like, he had a decade, it seems like, of movies where he was just this very, like, sexualized... Mm-hmm. Aggressive guy, in a sense, where when he does finally have sex with somebody, it's like this. And there's a movie with Demi Moore that I'll never forget. I forget the name of it.
Oh my God, that is,
he like rips her underwear off with his teeth.
It's called they play. It's in that they. She's a.
What is that movie
called? Oh, it's so good. It's really. It gets a little crazy with the game, with the stuff at the end with the computer code. You know, she's a.
I think
it's a company, and Demi Moore is also. Like at her prime too. What is that called?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to look it up.
That was right in there. And so, and then he was in The Game.
Yes.
And that, well, that was a whole nother great.
I mean, I have a computer here. I could probably look it up. But all right. Well, let me give our people that are listening. Hopefully you did your homework and saw this movie, because then you can really enjoy this conversation. But I'm going to just explain what IMDb tells us. They have a one-sentence description here. Let's see what they said. A violent police detective investigates a brutal murder that might involve a manipulative and seductive novelist. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Not bad for one sentence.
Not bad.
Let's walk through it a little bit, Amy.
I'm not sure. I mean, they sort of touch on his violent... You know, the fact that he killed a tourist. Like,
right.
They sort of allude to a lot of things and his drinking problem and all this. So they kind of give you a little bit of a backstory. But I don't know that until he met it seemed like when he met her, there was like a switch that was flipped, and perhaps it just brought him back to the way he was, mm-hmm. because that's first scene with Gene Triplehorn. You know, he's like, I'm not having sex. I haven't had sex since you, and my life is kind of boring. So you kind of get the impression that maybe he's not all that violent. And then as soon as he meets, I mean, he starts drinking again. He starts smoking again. He starts partying again. He's got all this. It's like.
She's like a drug. Yeah.
And that's.
She's the trigger.
She's a trigger for all of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know that I have. I mean, I'm in recovery, and I don't know that I would have a trigger that would just allow me just to throw it all. I mean, you better have something really great going on. But I thought that part was like he just went bananas.
He
like
did.
He just went.
Well, I got the sense on this rewatch that, and it's funny, I've been doing a lot of rewatching because I've had other people on, and I'd be like, oh, I haven't seen that in a long time. And it's funny watching things then and now. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to realize young Tiffany was only focused in on the sex shit. And I think I liked the story.
It's
but
good.
I think
it's
I was
better.
Obsessed with mm-hmm. Sharon Stone and obsessed with these actors and kind of like the simplicity of the roles that they were playing. But you're right. Watching it now at the age I'm at, I'm noticing all this other stuff. And I'm kind of like, yeah, they kind of set him up in this way where he's this troubled cop, but he's on the path to doing it right now.
Yeah.
He's got it together. Yeah. You get the sense. And then
and
this
he keeps
case happens.
A pass. Like for some, there's always everywhere he goes, there's like dead people. I mean,
it's crazy.
And he keeps getting a pass, so you have to sort of suspend your disbelief. But I don't remember the story being as good, to your point, until I just rewatched.
Oh, it's pretty good, isn't it?
Whoa, I think because we watch so much true crime, and you're so. Like, you're waiting. There's really no twists anymore. It's very formulaic. Even watching true crime shows, you know what's going to happen. There's going to be, you know, you're going to meet the people that are involved, and then there's going to be a whirlwind romance, and then somebody ends up in five garbage bags. And it's like, you know, that's sort of the...
True.
But this movie, I had forgotten. I was like, oh, yeah. And you could see how she led him down, because I was falling right for it the first time. I wasn't thinking outside the box.
I think the reason her role and her whoever wrote this, he did a good job on this one. This guy, I don't know. I should look up what else he's
Esther
written.
House. He's done a few things, and I think was it not Striptease? Maybe it was Striptease.
That was Verhoeven.
That was Verhoeven, but Esther.
Oh,
House,
Showgirls.
Showgirls. That's what I was thinking of. And that's a movie I would probably.
Sliver
with.
Yes.
Who's
actually,
Sliver?
You know what? Jagged Edge, which is
awesome.
Awesome, Glenn.
Did he do it?
Shout it out. Yes, he wrote it.
He wrote Jagged
he
Edge.
He wrote Jagged
oh, I
Edge.
Think that's one of the greatest movies.
He wrote Flashdance.
Wow.
He wrote. Let's see. Nowhere to Run.
Flash
yeah, I
good.
Mean,
he's
done
deal.
some good stuff. I love Jagged Edge. That's a whole other mm-hmm. episode for me. And also Glenn. But okay, so what were we just saying? We're talking about the writing. Oh, the story. It's you know what it is. It's like what I think. What made this interesting is you know he gets they give you a sense of who he is. He's got this troubled past.
Yeah, right.
The cop with the troubled past.
Right,
and then
right.
there's the case, and it's just a crazy case.
Yeah.
It's like a naked guy stabbed 100 times, and he's, you know, whatever.
He's
and
rich,
then,
he's tied up, he's all, yeah, like clearly there's cocaine all over the place. And
so then they go,
all over
oh
the
my
sheets.
God, it's so in your face. And then, literally, I did it again. Okay, so, wow, what is going on today? And then he's on to what he does for a living, which is he's going to work the case. And you know what they usually do, like you said, you're used to the process, which is like now they're going to interview all the people that mm-hmm. are like been near this guy was with this woman. And you expect a certain thing when people first get talked to. And the reason this is shocking is because she is the opposite
yep.
of what most people would say and do when they get. She is just like
out
doesn't
there.
Give a fuck. She is not worried about it. She is kind of like confusing everyone with
right.
her what is it? Her confidence.
It's her demeanor. Like
it's everything.
It's one of the best scenes, and I not because of the you know, the leg crossing scene was when she was being interrogated. So she's in there like
the
an
best
angel.
Scene.
It's such first of all, she the outfit is insane and it's just like a classic. And she just has everyone wrapped. And it's like she just has this, and that's, I think, what is so great about that character is suddenly, you know, people are sweating and she's just talking about sex. Like, yeah, we liked it. He pleasured me and I liked him and I liked his hands. And I mean, she spoke like women.
I think you just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
I think we haven't seen, I hadn't seen that really, like where women come off that confident or that like unapologetic.
Yeah.
About being sexual.
Right. Oh, that's what I, that maybe that's what
that's probably
me.
What yeah. It is. It's like usually women are a little shy about mm-hmm. admitting that, or maybe they're really crazy in the bedroom, but like, you know, that's the old school, like don't talk
or
about
it.
Or he
made me do it. I didn't really like it.
But she is completely like admitting, really, yeah. She's owning, and she's kind of shocking them with it. Mm-hmm. They're kind of like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. And you don't know whether to be turned on by it or kind of not repulsed by it, because I don't think there's anything about sex that's repulsive if it's consensual. But yeah, the way that she spoke about it, I was like, you go, girl.
It's very empowering, yeah. Actually, and I kind of like that. I think that is another reason why I probably liked mm-hmm. it is at a
older,
younger mm-hmm. age, even, was yeah, I was yeah. to see a woman be like, yeah, whatever, fuck you guys. I'm fucking this guy's, and that's what I do.
And that's what
sorry.
I do. Right. Yeah. And they liked it, and I liked it, and we both got something out of it.
And that's
it.
What
yeah.
we do.
Maybe that's, yeah. I definitely was attracted to the whole thing. I mean, her physical beauty is one thing, but her, her acting and just like you could totally see her. I mean, it's her vision. Like when you look at her face, her expressions are so like, ugh, like really, guys, this is all you got. Like you think you're gonna throw me with this? You think you're gonna throw me off? And you know, passing the lie detector and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I just really liked her.
Yeah,
other
you
than
have
the,
to.
Other than how can, the psychopathic, yeah. sociopathic.
It's hard not to like her.
Yeah.
Even though she is kind of difficult.
Yeah.
And she's kind of, I don't know.
And she surrounds herself with people that are just edgy and equally as off-putting. So it's like a whole band of, like,
well, that's
misfitty.
Where the yeah, and that's where the mm-hmm. storytelling is great, because as you're walking through it, there's just more and more things that are leading you to believe, like, oh my God, it's gotta be her.
Yeah.
What? Like,
yeah.
This person? Now this person? Like, and then she's writing the book. That was the other thing too. The they're like, your book is about this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then there's that whole conversation where you would be kind of an idiot to do that and
why
then
would
kill
I do
some
that, right.
That's right. But then it gives you the perfect alibi. So
right.
they're all kind of trying to figure this out.
She's brilliant.
She's brilliant.
She's brilliant. Yeah.
And we don't know either. The whole movie, you don't know. Even though it keeps like looking, it could be her, it couldn't be her. So you're in this dance the whole time and you're with Michael Douglas's character, Nikki. Oh boy. And right? And
yeah.
he is just, I think that's why we like it a little bit. I just figured something out.
Wow.
Well, as you mentioned about yourself in your relationships, she kind of toys with him.
Yeah.
And what's funny is to watch him go in and out of his mm-hmm. masculinity. So, like, he will, like, he has sex with her, and then he's, like, the next day, he's like, thought
oh.
that was the best fucking lay I've
yeah.
ever, whatever he says.
What did he say? He said it was world, oh, I heard
that was
again.
The
world class something. He says it to her girlfriend.
Of the decade or of the,
that was the best.
Oh, what's the line?
What
it's going to kill me
something
now.
Of the decade. That
okay.
I just heard it, like, three times today. And right, you're exactly
I'm gonna look
right.
up the
like,
quotes. It's got to be in here.
Like sometimes he does. He's very
yeah.
strong, and but he seems to be when he's with her, he has to do what he does for her. Like he doesn't do it for himself. I think
right.
he does it because he wants her to feel extreme pleasure, and he knows that's what. You know, it's like he's all about making her satisfied. Which
yeah,
is cool.
It,
that's what it seems to me.
It's
like,
just funny because he, you know, he like has sex and he feels very like confident.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he gets a little confident with her,
she just yeah.
fucking knocks him down. It's fun. Like if you're
yeah.
watching this, you're
yeah.
like, yeah, okay,
yeah.
take it easy, buddy.
Yeah.
It's not all about you.
You know,
like
he shows up and she's like, what do you want? You know, like,
yeah,
that's the best lay of the century. And now all of a sudden you
that's
show
right.
up
like the best
like,
lay of the century. And she's like, did you think it was?
Right,
and he's like well, I kind of thought so. And then she's like,
okay,
then
okay.
kind of like
yeah.
a, you know, it's kind of like that for me all the
yeah.
time.
Right.
Is what she's kind of telling him. And then he's demasculated or whatever the word is.
Emasculated.
Sorry.
But you're right. Making up words. I think maybe that's D is actually.
And I'm sorry, men, if you're with us, we're not trying to talk badly about you. I just think for us, we don't see that much.
Yeah.
Where women kind of take the role of that in a way that is confusing.
But also she does have, although you know at the end, you know, a kind of a softer, vulnerable-y kind of side that she presents to him. Like, I've never said that to anyone before. You know,
I kept trying to figure out if she was bullshitting.
She's
him
bullshit,
all the time.
Of course. I mean, this is where the sociopathic kind of manipulation comes in, and probably more than that. But when you see her and then you can just kind of see him like, oh, I'll take care of you. And like, I mean, at the very end, that was a quintessential kind of fuck. You know, that was like, oh my God, like she's that good. I was buying it.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
If I'm buying it, he's buying it. You know, if I was in bed with her hearing these things, you know. But yeah, it was. I guess I had never really thought about it that way. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Well, I mean, this is why I do this, because I think it's fun. And I do think we pick things unknowingly that have meaning for us in ways that we didn't realize, even though they're just movies. I've been doing a lot of movies lately where I've been thinking about relationship roles.
Mm-hmm.
I just, for those of you guys that listened to the last episode, we did Pretty Woman.
Yeah. Never saw it.
Oh, my God.
Never saw it.
Okay, that is a very hard left or whatever from this movie. It's a fairy tale. Okay.
That is a classic
Hollywood feel-good movie. Yeah. With a ridiculous premise. You guys should just go listen to it if you, you know, it's, but you should watch it.
I probably, it was just one of those, I've never seen a lot of things that you think just be like, or what?
You're like, what was that? Yeah. But this is my kind, you know, this is us. Because first of all, true crime, sex, cool actors, great story, whatever. It checks all the boxes for me.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, and you've got the femme fatale. I actually, and I know you're a big classic movie person, so maybe I should ask you. And I did some little homework as I was watching the movie, and I couldn't really find anything specific, but so much of this to me felt like an old movie, like an old film noir.
There's like Betty Davis and Little Foxes, and there's like Barbara Stanwyck had a couple of
I was
real
thinking about Mildred Pierce.
Mildred Pierce.
Crawford. Like yes.
That was the first time. I just saw it in the remake is with
Kate Winslet.
I thought it was fantastic. But that was
That is one of those movies for me that my mother introduced me to, and I've seen it a million times.
And that kind of up and down. And her going in and out of relationships with men and women and friends and that was and I just thought Joan Crawford did an amazing job.
Oh my God.
That was really good.
That's a messed up movie. And also, a movie called, and I don't know a lot of classic movies, but Double Indemnity.
Oh my God, that's with Barbara Stanwyck.
That's Barbara Stanwyck.
Oh my God, she was so good in that. And she had, why can't I think of his name? Fred.
I should look it up.
Oh my God, you know Fred, why can't I remember?
Oh my God, that's
he's super, super tall.
Yes.
And she was great in that and so manipulative.
Right?
And so was the daughter. And they had him controlled and he did whatever. And you really believed her.
You did.
You'd be like, oh my God, I think she's really fine. Fred McMurray.
That's it.
And he was so much bigger than she was. But yeah, I mean, and the banter in that, like it's so quick. It's that real quick kind of 40s sort of whatever it was.
I feel like this movie, I think he had some of that stuff in his head because the way she looked a lot of the time. I mean, like you said, not every scene because some of it's very updated. The 90s stuff where like they're in the club and the girls are dancing with each other. Then there's also a bunch of scenes where she's just braless for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's very obvious. Like, and it was funny because I saw that and then I watched this and we don't have to get into Fatal Attraction, but maybe we could for a few minutes. But there's a lot of that in that movie as well, which is just, I think it was in the same 5-year period where Glenn is showing up to business meetings and like, just no bra. It's like the boobs are out at all times.
And there's always white involved.
A lot of white. You're right.
A lot of white.
You're
right. You
know,
like the classic scenes in Fit, like, you will not ignore me. You know, that kind of, I will not be ignored. And I remember thinking, like, she's got
I should have brought some script notes.
Giant white. And I was watching the movie with Sharon Stone. And when the women are the most intense, they're always wearing white. And there's nothing more.
I think I know why.
Well, I mean, is it just the juxtaposition of the angels?
The innocence?
And the innocence.
Well,
right.
Also, and this is just because I just watch Fatal Attraction now, is there's, when Glenn Close, now we're talking about a different movie. Sorry, everyone. Just follow us. Come over to the next crazy woman movie. Where she doesn't kill anyone, but she is insane. And it's when she first kind of starts to appear a little crazy to him. And she is wearing like a white shirt that goes all the way to her, like almost below her knees.
Like a tunic.
It's just, it looks like she's wearing like a mental institution outfit. That's what it reminded me of instantly.
Well, it's very, it wasn't Donna Karen.
Whatever that outfit is.
That was very time, but that was for the time. Mm-hmm. I remember that was a very, that was like a look. And it wasn't Donna Karen. There was another designer that was like that very severe kind of like,
yes.
It was like crisp white thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, God, I haven't thought of that in a while.
Yeah, and I think it is both maybe the juxtaposition of like white represents goodness or clean or innocence or angel or.
And they're just so not.
I know.
That's what's that lousy about some of the old black and whites is I would love to see, I mean.
Yes.
What those colors are because color is so important now and music and all
of it. God,
like
so
all
true.
Of your senses are like touched. You got your, you know, your audio and your visual and like everything just looks, it's like so crazy. And the movie moved at a nice pace too. Mm-hmm. I thought it wasn't too, there wasn't over the top. I guess there's over the top sex scenes, but it wasn't sort of over the top violence. It really wasn't that.
No, it wasn't
violent of a movie. When it's in your face, it's sort of the result or the end result of something. But there's always that, you know, like, is it? It's like right there. You're waiting for it. I thought it was good. I mean, I really.
Oh, my God, I love it.
I watched it again.
Yeah,
so
I love it.
Getting into the Jean Triplehorn.
Oh, her character?
Segment of the movie.
Yeah, what do you have to say about that?
I don't know. I mean, she's supposed to be sort of. I mean, I found her to be rather. Not annoying, but like the anti Catherine, you know, the one where, you know, when you're a little girl and you come through adolescence, like you go one way or the other. Like you're either gonna go, you know, the good girl, go to school and, you know, be more of a traditionally, you know, woman, and or you go bad. They were like good and bad, but when not really. I mean, it's sort of. That's what was interesting is the what you think is happening isn't happening and it doesn't all really come together. Like that movie really keeps going for like
it keeps
20,
twisting
30
and turning.
Minutes of like whoa and I mean right up until the last scene like you're in because you figure okay it's over now and you're like whoa it is not over like okay it's over oh yeah it's not over.
Now what are some of your favorite scenes? I was just thinking of because we're not even really, we have so much to say, we're not even, I can't even walk through the story, it would take forever. But like, I love when, obviously more things have happened, the Roxy's gone, and you know, all these people have died. I think it's almost towards the end, when he comes over, like he's all, this is what I'm saying, like he goes in and out of feeling comfortable with her. He like pops into her house all the time, it's so funny.
Yeah,
he's Catherine? Like, I'm here.
Yeah.
And she's like, and he's like, so, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, all right, well, goodbye.
I gotta go.
I finished my book. That's what she says to him. What? And she's like, it's over. I told you. I'm done. That's it. And you're kind of like, damn, bitch. I'm like, that is cold. Like,
that's cold.
That's cold. But she is showing again that she's just, I don't know, man. It was just so funny to me. And I was like, wow.
And when he starts putting all of the, when she talks about her stalker at college and then he kind of goes and it was so funny, you know, like watching him go to the Berkeley and say, could you look up this name? And there's like old computers and they're like, oh, there's like one girl named Oberman and
then some old photo pops up.
Right,
like,
right. And it's, you know, and he approaches, he finds out that there was no Oberman. And he confronts Sharon Stone, confronts Catherine, and she's like, it's Hoberman.
What are you
doing?
And
now, once again,
what are you
he's
checking
like,
up on
right,
me?
And now he feels like a total jerk. And
right, now he's an idiot again.
Now he goes, like, slinking away to the nearest payphone, and you're like, and some of you goes, like, dude, she is just way above your pay grade. Like, you're never going to.
No, and
you're
she's
never
got money.
Lock that
I mean,
shit down.
She has got it going on.
Yeah, like you feel almost bad from like she will crush you. Like yeah. she will just keep doing this, and that's what was mm-hmm. kind of cool because at some point you feel like okay, maybe she's finally found something that's gonna satisfy all that, but and then you realize no.
No, and I think the movie is like the theme in it for me is this like people, it's a lot of themes of obsession mm-hmm. and people being attracted to this kind of like
chaos.
And yeah. that's why we can't, you know, and we want it. Like, it's funny, like you get into the story and you're like, yes, yeah. go for the chaos, please. And then Jean, you know, her character's like,
yeah.
She's the goody two shoes, and we're all annoyed by her. We're like, shut up, he's having good times. Right. He's having sex. Yeah. He's like doing yeah. all these crazy things.
Be.
He's figuring it out.
Like he's self-destructing, let it happen.
Yeah, because we're involved now. Yeah. But like it's funny because that's why we don't like her. Otherwise, we'd be like, she's great, but she's annoying because
she's annoying.
She keeps getting in the way of his fun times.
Right.
That's how I looked
and
at it.
And you do want to sort of see him self-destruct because he's, you know, he's falling for it. Like you can kind of see it coming, like she's this is not going to go well for you. And yet
no.
he keeps going back to the well.
It's like the chase.
It's the chase. But to be in a relationship, like it's fine to watch a movie if you've ever been in a relationship that had any sort of like even tinge of obsession. It's extremely tiring and it's extremely scary because that was always, I have daughters and one of my biggest concerns was that they would find somebody that would, or not even find somebody, that somebody would see them become fixated on them. Because mm-hmm. I'm 54, so stalking wasn't really a thing. It was more like, because you couldn't really, you had to call people, you had to find people. Now,
right.
you can track people, you know, oh you can God. See where they are, you can see what they do, you can see
that's
a lot.
Scary.
It's scary. Like, it took a lot of effort to stalk people back in, like, the 80s. Because it was like, oh, fuck it, I'm just
I know, and I go. Love, I love in, not to interrupt you, but, like, in that Fatal Attraction, like, when he goes to try and have secret conversations, he can go places.
Yeah.
He's, like, in the law library in yeah. the back, and he's like, hey, man, let me talk to you back here. Like, he could get away with it. He could have that whole weekend with her. Nobody knew.
Yep.
Because
nobody
there's
knew.
No
there's
cell
nowhere,
phone.
There was no way to.
Nobody's going to, you know, it was kind of crazy. I thought yeah. that whole time. I'm like, he's in New York and he's floundering around with her. And
but I mean,
he's not even concerned.
I've pulled it off. And really, you're not concerned.
Do
because
tell.
I mean, I've pulled it off, you know, unsuccessfully and successfully. But it's, you know,
oh,
once
man.
It's, and that's sort of, but once yeah. it's over. Once that, you know, to maintain that level of, you know, just like heightened, just everything is just so heightened. But it is tiring. Like I, to be in a relationship with somebody who's constantly in and out. And, I mean, it's fun to watch it in a movie, but then mm-hmm. you realize, oh my God. But yeah, I mean, there's been people that have just not, and I'm not really good with boundaries. So I think a lot of it is, you know, you have no, like, they had no boundaries, these two. Like, they were just floating in and out of their lives. There was no...
Well, they had no children, so that helped.
You know, there was no witness, and, you know, you're a suspect, and I'm, you know, I'm supposed to be investigating you. Like, everything was just all mushed together.
Yeah.
But really, it was just the power of her sex and what she could do. And I just think, ultimately, he just wanted to be... someone that she never forgot. And I think that's a lot of what
so it is. So I'm going to jump right to the end because fuck it. It's my
Let's
show.
Do it. I know it.
Well, because, you know, we're saying, like, they go through all these things. There's a lot of fun stuff in this movie. The interrogation scene alone is probably
it's
my
great.
Favorite.
It's just a really well... And she played it perfectly.
She plays it great.
Yeah.
You know, there's no smoking in here, Ms. Tramiel.
What are you going to do?
Charge me with smoking?
And then, of course, he has to kind of... And that was a little bit of one
and
of those, like,
does
cringy
anything.
Kind of douchey, like, oh, Michael, like, when he says it, when he repeats it back.
Oh, when
like,
he gets to be
like,
in the hot seat.
Yeah, like, what's the matter? You going to arrest me? He's like, oh,
I know.
No, don't
I know.
Do that.
He's, like trying to be her.
Like, he's trying so hard.
That's what I'm saying. You feel yeah. a little bad for yeah. him. You're like, oh, man.
You poor pathetic.
Just because you got some good sex, now yeah. you're all messed up.
Yeah.
You don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah. But the end is good because it worked.
So,
you know,
it's that end where she doesn't, I always, you know, my joke of these movies is I'm always like, what happens next year? Like, where does
well,
this relationship go?
Too,
I know, but it's
But it's
bad.
A total, I've never seen it. Is
I
it,
can't do it. It got like literally like, I just looked it up. It's like 6% on
yeah,
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. I mean, I can do anything like, it's got to be above 10.
And
though.
I feel bad because Sharon Stone probably thought,
Did she? Was she?
She's
in it.
In it.
No. Was he in it?
No.
Yeah.
It's like a whole other. It was like 2006, guys.
Well, I think it was one of those. You know.
Yeah.
What that conversation they had in bed, and kind of he was opening up to her, and I think she finally just figured, like, maybe I'll give it a shot.
I like how they left it. It reminds me of old movies a little bit. Like, there's a lot of dramatic music in this movie. It does remind me of those old movies, that kind of sweeping, like, you know, and then it's like, there's the ice pick, you know.
But she's capable of it. She, like, you know she's capable of it, and she was with the music guy for a while, so maybe she'll stick around with this guy for a while, but you know, ultimately she's going to literally or figuratively just ice pick the shit out of him emotionally. Like, he's either going to be laying in blood and semen, or he's just going to be an alcoholic, just drinking
just
himself
a mess.
Into oblivion.
Watch out for those chicks.
It was.
Damn.
There ain't a whole lot of those walking around. Although, you know, you never know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe it was still worth it in the end.
he didn't have the fuck of the century, or whatever it was. And I'll tell you, those things looked, it looks pretty darn real to me.
Those boobs?
No, the whole, the, their
look where I went. I was like, are they real?
Like, there was no, like, it was her body. There was no body.
Oh my God.
Double.
Those scenes are crazy.
I mean, because I thought, oh, they probably just had like a body double. I'm like, no, she is like full on. And I'm, you know, I'm glad she felt comfortable doing that. I don't think anyone, she would probably do it. I don't know, maybe she would. I don't, what do I know? She still looks great.
She looks great.
Yeah, she looks great.
Sharon, we love you. You killed it.
She's awesome, and there's not a whole lot to not love about
her. We all wanted to be you for like at least a decade. Still. I'll be you. Let's go.
She's happy. She looks, yeah, I just saw
her interview. She's doing all right.
She's doing all right.
It's good. Well, can I touch into this other movie just for fun?
Let's do it.
All right, I don't want to keep you forever, but okay, so everyone, and you know, go check out Basic Instinct if you've seen it. We're bringing up real quick Fatal Attraction. I don't have to get too long involved in it, but I do like the idea of different kinds of manipulative, crazy women. And once again, poor Michael Douglas, who constantly gets his ass in these situations.
Well, he put his ass in this one.
So real quick, since this does bring up relationship stuff, and I was actually talking about this with Nick before I left, because I was like, on this, I watched this other movie again when I was young. Now I'm an adult. I've had life. And I'm thinking, like, watching really carefully how these two get together in the first place.
Right.
And I have to say, they did a pretty good job of having it be kind of not so much that he was really looking for it.
No, that's probably true.
I mean, he's game, but he's not like really pursuing her.
Yeah, he wasn't on Tinder. But no, I think you're right. I think that was just, when you look at situations like that and you find yourself with people, it just, the circumstances, it's like, it's more just, it's opportunistic. It's like, there it is. She's down, I'm down. And then, but when it turns into a weekend like they had, which I know that feeling of like,
it's crazy.
You create this whole kind of scene and, you know, she's creating a life for them and he's like, just wants to, you know, he's not in. I mean, he's just wants to just have a fling and go home.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where it gets.
You should rewatch
scary.
That. That's crazy.
I think I might rewatch that.
You might need to. So I'll just real quick. This one's 87. This one is directed by Adrian Lynn. James Dearden wrote it. Michael Douglas, Glenn Close, and Archer, who's gorgeous.
And Archer's, yeah, she's great.
She's way hotter than Glenn Close.
Yeah,
and I love Glenn.
She's way hotter. Yeah.
I love Glenn. But I will say, the reason I want to bring it up is because it's interesting to watch that dynamic too, which the other movie, it's more about a person attracted to something unattainable, kind of this obsession with something that's like unknown almost. Yeah. And that's the attraction, is this kind of not knowing who I'm being with. I think in Basic Instinct, the heightened sex thing,
she's unpredictable,
is that
she's
dangerous.
She's dangerous, yeah.
And he doesn't know who he's really involved with.
And he doesn't know if she's a murderer. I mean, he really doesn't know if she's almost a serial killer at this point.
So that is the exciting thing about the sex thing. And I think what I'm coming to is like, I'm doing it again. Holy Christ.
Come to?
I'm so sorry, Jesus.
Oh, trust me.
Let me do this. So
he ain't been born yet.
But in the same sense, even though this is a different story, we've got a married man and they set it up pretty well, just very casually. I have to tell you, this movie is very more realistic. It's real.
You mean
Fatal Attraction?
I think is way more real.
It is, yeah, and I he's mean, got this like yeah. very kind of happy family, mm-hmm. but he's in that place in his life where they're just they're routines.
They're gonna
you know,
move out to the country, and they're gonna,
yeah. It's kind of like
I remember the daughter in that being super cool because she was almost like. She was a girl, but a boy.
Like, she had, like, short hair. You couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell. It's the first time I remember thinking, oh, my God, I think that's a boy. Like, it wasn't any, like, they were just sort of letting her be.
I know. I thought that was cool,
too. It was
too.
Really cool. Like, she didn't fit into any stereotypical child thing. She was very artistic, and she was very creative, and she was very androgynous looking. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a, not that it even mattered.
I don't
at
even
the time.
Know if they thought of it. It just was.
Yeah, it was like really just kind of cool that she was a super kind of hip little kid. I remember thinking the kid was cool as fuck.
Yeah,
like,
she's very cool.
Yeah, she's cute. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, but so that they're just kind of going along.
So they're showing that he's in this very comfortable mm-hmm. family man, good guy, obviously. You get the vibe that he's a pretty good guy. And then, but also that maybe it's become a little boring for him,
right?
Which is something a lot of married people can relate to,
sure.
right? Which is kind of like
in,
there's yeah. not even time for the sex. It's like the kids in the bed, and it's like,
or
all
everything's
right.
very formulaic. Like yeah. you're still attracted to each other, but you know,
right?
I mean, it'll happen at some point. Like you know, if it doesn't happen tonight, it might happen tomorrow, but not tomorrow. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's not
of,
your
yeah,
top priority
right,
anymore.
Yeah.
You're not like
yeah.
the Michael Douglas in the other right. movie, who's mm-hmm. just. You know,
yeah,
he's the I'm shrugging. I'm doing a dance in my seat. You can't see it. It's my impersonation. And so I love that. And then so I think that's really interesting, because then when he does meet Glenn, or what's her name?
Glenn Close.
Alex.
Right. And that was cool because she had like a cool name.
Yeah,
like, there weren't
Alex.
A lot of like boy girl names at the time.
No.
Alex was like, I want to be Alex.
And she looks like an Alex,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So she shows up. And then there's a little bit of a slight attraction, I think, that they hint to.
Yeah.
They end up at dinner. Course of things happen. They end up at dinner. And then after the dinner, it's on.
Yeah.
Like, very intensely.
It's the elevator scene's great. Like her.
Oh, my God.
And
it's
her,
crazy.
Her loft apartment is cool. Like, everything's like
she's, like,
super
in the meatpacking district.
Yeah, it's
badass.
It's,
yeah.
badass. So hip. Like, totally.
Independent
like,
woman.
Exactly.
Smart.
Yeah.
Bit of a mystery as well, right?
Right.
So now like, he gets involved in this affair that only happens, by the way.
It's like 2 days.
It's literally 2 days.
Yeah, it's
and,
2 days.
But it's hot and heavy, and she comes on very strong, but it's wild. It's like
yeah.
a little bit wild, and
yeah.
I find that whole thing like so interesting. So like this guy has this boring kind of basic, wonderful life, and then this happens to him, which kind of ignites this like thing in him.
Mm-hmm.
But what's different about this story is he gets a taste of it, and all it makes him realize is how much he loves
right.
his family.
Right.
And he's kind of like, I'm kind of over this now.
Mm-hmm.
It was whatever, but
thanks.
Like, I need to go, and now I want to go fuck my wife. Thanks.
And
actually.
And Glenn Close, Alex presents such a confident person that you think she could easily just get over something like that. Okay, well, I'll just, and ooh. Quite the opposite.
When she turns in that scene, it is so crazy.
Yeah.
You have to, and I haven't
you
told you to read. I'm
the,
talking
the
about the slitting of the wrist.
Slitting of the wrist scene. Okay. That's
and that
thought,
happens
yeah.
just at the end of that 2 days where she's like, he's like, I got to get back to my family because they're coming.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't leave. And then she's like, it's really okay. Can you just say goodbye? And then.
Yeah. And then she's standing there. Yeah.
Well, then he's kissing her goodbye
because
he's being nice. He's like, all right, I'm sorry, you know. And then he realizes there's blood all over.
Yeah.
It's creepy as shit. You got to rewatch this.
I don't know.
It's so
like,
scary.
At what point? Like, and I think there are points in a relationship, especially when you know things aren't going, that you know, oh, shit, crazy just showed up. Like,
oh, it's terrifying.
Like, I'm over my head with this. You know, either, like, there's that moment of, holy shit, I've pushed it too far. I've taken it too far. I've said the wrong thing. And now how am I going to get out of this? And that must be, that's a terrifying moment because you know, everything, you've put everything on the line for this person.
Know.
I mean, he had a lot to lose. The country house in Connecticut and the job and the kid.
Like, and the hot wife and everything.
He put everything on the line for a piece of ass. As opposed to the Michael Douglas thing. At least he was, you know, I mean, that was sort of a mutually.
That was, yeah.
That's what was so distressing about the Fatal Attraction was like, oh, dude. If you could have just known, like, you probably would have reeled that shit back in. And
but isn't this the theme, though, of the exciting interaction or the attraction that happens with people you don't really know?
Yeah.
Which makes it so hot, right? Because when you know somebody, you're like, all right, well, that's so-and-so.
It's hot, but it's so
but
scary.
It's that mystery like, person. Yeah. It's like, you know, I don't really know this person, so this is kind of, that's what makes it exciting, I think.
That also makes it incredibly
risky. Risk makes things exciting.
But it's also so unpredictable because you don't know what the pathology is of the person that you're...
Oh, my God. And that story, I will say Fatal Attraction must have been a fun one to write.
Yeah.
Not that I've ever really written anything like that, but or anything. But, like, to come up with more and more fucked up shit that you could think of that would be, like, subtle, but really scare people.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was so awesome. I was like, oh, my God, then she just did what?
Yeah.
Like, what was that? That was weird.
And you're always on edge for the wife.
Yeah.
And you don't want her to get hurt because she's an innocent and the child's an innocent and all this. And you just go, oh, God. And he just made one.
Like, do you think we can forgive him? I was trying to come to this conversation.
I
was thinking, like.
Sure. Well, you know.
What was the mistake he made? And I kept thinking this, too. I was like. And I asked Nick, I asked my wife, I was like, what do you think was his biggest mistake? Not even this after the fact, because the mistake happened. You know, he did the thing, whatever. People, listen, I'm an adult. People do things. Marriages survive affairs.
Mistake?
But I'm just saying, she said he should have told her, his wife, if he really wanted to end this thing, he would have to come clean in his relationship about the affair, which he does not want to do. Which is why it escalates and escalates and escalates. That's the whole, which is a good point, but then we'd have no fun movie to watch, and that's the whole movie.
And that is the cautionary tale.
It is the cautionary tale.
If you're going to risk everything, you've got to be willing to risk everything and let,
true.
You know,
yeah.
And, you know, you're, and I guess there's always kind of, you know, alcohol involved,
right?
And ego and all this, and you compartmentalize, and I get that. But once, you know, once you realize what you've done, there's two ways you can go. You can just put it away and hope that door never opens again, or what, in a lot of cases, you just keep adding doors, because that's a feeling, that's a feeling that you're not going to get in a 20-year marriage. That's a feeling you can only get when you...
Absolutely.
I think why
that's the point,
serial,
right? Yeah.
You know, that whole serial stuff. And you just hope that, like, he'll never do this again. I mean, but I think it did scare a lot of
people.
People
say that
into,
a lot.
Like,
men of the of the 80s and
like,
90s
whoa.
Were like, dude.
And, like, how is... Oh, she's great. She's a bunny boiler. Like, that was a...
It's
that
crazy
was sort
scene.
Of like a... Like
that was
that,
like
that
from this movie,
that
yeah.
That became sort of a thing. Like, oh, she's, you know, she's that's whatever you call it, what, the zeitgeist of it. That was like a social, like that was a
that's pop
part
culture.
Of the vernacular was like, oh, she's a bunny boiler. Even
that's
now,
that's so funny that
and
you said that.
People just know what that means. Like, stay away.
They're like, dude, Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, like, she's nuts. Sure, that's never been said about me.
It's kind of a bummer that we got two kind of good-looking blondes. Obviously, Sharon, you win. I'm sorry.
Yeah, totally.
But forever and eternity, she will be known as the hot Basic Instinct, and Glenn is known as the Looney Tune from this movie. Like,
I
really,
know.
Sorry, Glenn.
And
you
now,
really...
and now with Hillbilly Elegy, forget
oh,
it.
Oh my God! Did you watch Hillbilly Elegy?
Oh,
did you see it?
Linda's saying I should watch it. I don't know if I want to watch
it's,
I've
I will
seen
tell
it.
You,
I've seen
it was hard to
it's
watch.
Hard, yeah, I mean, it's...
It made me upset. I didn't think it was a bad movie at all. I just thought it was upsetting.
It's upsetting.
Because it's mean, a real... You know, what's hard is when you watch certain movies, you can be like, yeah, well, it's bullshit, you know? It's
that's
like fake.
Happened, yeah. That's,
this really happened to this person.
This happened, and it's happening.
That's
all
right.
The time.
That's right. And
all
so it's
the
like
time.
You're kind of like, all right. Well, I guess I'm getting kind of lengthy here, but I just love this. I love that you picked this movie, Basic Instinct. I'm so like happy I got to rewatch
it. Was fun. It was good
and
seeing
also,
you.
What I love about this doing this podcast for people that know me, is that like when I think of a movie from the past, it makes me think about me from the past because the whole time I'm watching it, I'm reliving like working at the movie theater and
Steve,
wearing my leather jacket.
Roxy,
and like, I'm like, this whole thing is coming back for me because I'm watching this movie that reminds me of that. So that's kind of like, it's just fun for me. But,
well, I'll come back and talk about Don't Fuck with Cats.
I'm going to, that's a good one.
I
and I'm going to
totally get
that.
That
one is like a,
that's
crazy,
a crazy, that's a
crazy,
crazy
show.
Yeah. The other one we need to touch on is Tickled. Have you seen that?
No.
I'll text you.
Is that like a murder thing or no?
No. It sort of starts off as a, like kind of a fetishist thing, like people that are into tickling.
Nice.
And then it goes wildly into another whole like level of wacky.
I'm going to just share one thing with you too that you need to. So do you have HBO?
No, not anymore. But I'm getting it. I'm getting my daughter's password.
Okay. I will give you a password.
The Undoing.
Not The Undoing. No. The Undoing annoyed the shit out of me.
Okay.
Sorry, Undoing people.
Thank you. Because
please. I mean,
yeah.
I will hate talk that movie for at least two hours.
Because I've heard.
It was interesting and I watched it, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, sorry,
miscast,
people that loved it.
Yeah.
I watched it. I enjoyed watching it, but in hindsight, I was like, "What in the fuck is whatever?" You know, like.
So what's on HBO?
So this you need to watch. We're watching it right now. Me and Nick didn't finish it, but there's a documentary series called Murder in Middle Beach.
I'm
about this guy's mom that got murdered.
So
the Beach family, by the way, Sandy Beach is the grandfather.
Oh, you're kidding me.
You will die.
Not Sandy Beach.
Yes.
Or Sandy Beach. Really?
Yes. Nicole was watching with
me. No way.
And she goes, that's fucking Sandy Beach. And I go, what are you talking about? And she goes, you don't understand.
That's like.
So I'm sharing this with you. Maybe, you know, I'm doing it on
it's
here.
Interesting.
But it's
I watched the first episode because it was on demand. And then I realized I had not.
That's the whole family.
Okay. So now I'm getting my daughter. We're switching passwords, and I'm gonna watch it.
You gotta watch it.
It just the last one just dropped, so it's done.
I know we're kind of on the last episode.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, even his transformation, the son's transformation from the beginning of that first episode. So that when he that change and that father, I can't. My sisters have been talking about it back and forth since it started, and I haven't watched any of it. But yes, I am all in, and also not. I digress. A Teacher on Hulu was fantastic.
Oh.
With Kate Mara.
I was looking at that.
Oh, my. You got to watch it.
Well, I am like obsessed with Rooney Mara.
Rooney Mara is awesome, but Kate's pretty hot.
Okay,
too.
Fine.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Fine. She reminds
Kate.
Me of. Yeah, she's cute. All right. I guess that's it.
I guess that's it, but you will love Murder. You'll love Murder at Middle Beach just because it's not only a really awesomely done story. It's so real, and it's so much of all this stuff. Like, you're not going to believe it. You're not going
to
believe it. And I, when I realized what that was, for people that know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But apparently, it was just kind of like thrown in there. And you're like, what?
What? Yeah.
What?
Because my sisters have spoken on text about who they think, and it's come up a couple times that they think it's this one particular family member. And it wasn't the husband.
We haven't looked up anything or anything.
Yeah.
But I have this weird feeling that we're not going to find out.
I don't know.
Because I don't think it got resolved. But it doesn't matter because it's a really interesting story.
Yeah.
And
that's a strange family dynamic.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Well,
anyway, that was good.
Anyway, anything else? So we've given you guys some good suggestions. If you haven't seen, I've been on a 90s trip lately.
Yeah, man.
Maybe I will get into Christmas. I know. No. It's Christmas time.
Bah. Humbug.
Are you?
Totally. Not into it.
Not. Are you ever into Christmas?
Nope.
Okay.
I am not.
Woo!
I am not
big into Christmas either. When my kids were little, I was like, all right.
My kids were little.
I get it. It feels like a lot for me.
It's, and I've been digging deep. To find out what this is from.
Oh, are you
and
trying
I,
to figure it out?
Yeah.
Why you can't enjoy Christmas?
I can't enjoy it. I don't.
I know why I can't, but it's because of presents.
It's presents. It's pressure. It's, and I think it does have to do with the fact that I don't drink anymore. And that's,
oh,
that was
wow.
always,
okay.
I think that's more,
for a lot of people, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's real. And it's not that I loathe it. It's just, it was such a part of the day. And it was such a part of my family. And it was such a part of what we did. And
so many people.
So now it's just a reminder of what I can't do anymore. As
Got
opposed
it.
To, oh, I'm so glad to be clean and sober. It's just a reminder of, wow, yeah. I cannot do this anymore. Like,
I feel like,
and I don't want to, I just know I can't. So that, like, Christmas, Thanksgiving to a certain extent, because that was always a big
holiday. It is for a lot of people, these holidays, and I think that's why it's hard, and it's even doubly hard right now for people.
Yeah.
Although for some people, I was like, this is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see your family on Thanksgiving. Aren't you happy?
I was on a Zoom meeting, like, and that came excited? Up. Like, this girl, not much time. And she's like, this might be the easiest Thanksgiving. This might be the easiest Christmas ever. So whoever's out there, just hang in there.
I think my, I know we got to go. I'm just saying, I think my issues with these kind of holidays is they feel like the opposite of what I've come to in my life, which is like, it shouldn't be about money and gifting, and it should just be about connection and being like with people you care about. But it gets all weird and crazy. And I just don't know why it has to get like that.
And I think families are split apart a lot of times. There's a lot of, you know, separation. If, like, my daughter has a husband now, so she goes with him, and my other daughter, you know, and nobody wants to really travel. But even before COVID, I found myself, I have all these kids, and I woke up on Christmas morning alone, and I was devastated. My life get here? Like, my daughters are with their dad up there, and I was going there, but it just was like, sometimes it's just a reminder of what it was, what it could have been, and what it is. And I know I'm like, I get it. Like, I know all roads led to today, to me staring at you and your beautiful face.
Yeah, but we still are human, and we still can't help what comes up.
Yeah. Like, I'll try. I mean,
I'll
put on the sad
listen. What I love about what you said is that there's somebody out there that is like, me too, man.
Yeah.
And you just help somebody, probably.
Yeah, you know, probably not. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone's alone ever right now. And I think part of it, my daughter's going through some major shit, and she hasn't been sharing it, and she shared it with me and my sister today, and she just dumped it.
Oh, man.
And it was awesome to feel like it's awesome to feel like you're there to and allow someone to dump. Like, I feel really comfortable just like, bleh,
yeah,
like
me
dumping
too.
It out on you and your.
I hope know, you I don't do. Know how your Please always.
Anyway, all right. Listen,
sorry,
I gotta go pick up a pizza.
All right, listen. Oh my God, I want a pizza. All right, well, listen.
I brought you a bag of snacks and a Chanel bag.
I didn't even touch it. I just want pizza. Okay, listen. Put on these '80s movies. Go get laid. Whatever you need to do, okay? It's COVID. We're allowed to do whatever the goddamn hell we want. All
right.
Did that make sense?
It made sense.
Fine. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And everyone, please come back next week.
Okay. Love you, girl.
Love you, too. Bye, everybody. Bye.